talk about communion, the place of attitude adjustment. Last week we talked about the power of attitude, communion, the place of attitude adjustment. The scriptures, I really want to talk about that one in 1 Kings 19, 13, as well as 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah? What doest thou here?" And then 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "Let a man examine himself, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Amen. Communion, the place of attitude adjustment. Elijah was a prophet. Elijah had had great success. He had prayed that it would not rain for 3 years, and it did not rain. He had challenged Jezebel and Ahab, and he had challenged their prophets, and he won in every case. He prayed that it wouldn't rain, and then he prayed that it would rain. After 3 years, he prayed that God would send the rain. Elisha had been a great success. And one would have thought that after having so much success that Elisha would have retired and wrote his memoirs and gone off and been a wonderful success. But how many of you know that sometimes it doesn't work that you have success after success? Sometimes you can be so successful, you'll be scared that something is going to happen. Everything is going just fine, and you begin to wonder when the bottom is going to fall out. And this is where Elijah is. Elijah is sitting in the entrance of a cave, depressed, even after he's been successful. And he is wondering if his luck is going to hold, and if Jezebel is going to be able to come and kill him, because Jezebel said, "I'm going to kill you." And Elijah is sitting in the cave after he's been successful for a number of years, and he's wondering whether or not he is going to get killed by Jezebel. And so God shows up, and God asks him, "Elijah, what you doing here? Why are you sitting here holding a pity party for yourself? Elijah, what are you doing here?" And so I thought I would ask you a question this morning. What are you doing here? Why'd you come today? Did you come just to show off your new suit? Why'd you come today? Did you come to get your dance in? Why did you come today? Did you come just because you heard somebody say you ought to go down to Mount Olive? They're about to give out Thanksgiving baskets. You need to show up at least one Sunday ahead of time. Why did you come today? But I have a feeling that I hope somebody came today because you wanted your attitude adjusted. Somebody came feeling bad. Somebody came depressed. Somebody came feeling that they weren't going to be able to make it because somebody walked out on them. Somebody came not knowing how they were going to make it. But I got good news for you. God can change your attitude. And God can change your situation. Elijah
shows up. And this is a word. This is a word for all of us because you can be a very successful person in public and very messed up in private. I know I'm right about it.
You can have it so everybody look like you got it going on. Looks like you got money in the bank. You got your mortgage paid for. Your kids are finally out of college. It can look like everything is going well. But privately, you're about to lose your mind. And I got a feeling that there's somebody in here this morning that publicly it looks great, but privately you are going through. And I want you to know God can give you an attitude adjustment in his house here. And God can pick you up and turn you around.
Elijah shows up. He's there at the cave. How many of you know that life can put you in a cave?
Life can isolate you and put you way down yonder by yourself. And you can get in such a funk that you don't want to be around anybody. Anybody ever been where I'm talking about? You don't want to be around nobody. And people start calling you, "Where were you, Sam? Where were you, Mary?" But things are going on in your life. And you decided the best thing for me to do is just isolate myself. Because if I hang around people, I'm going to say the wrong thing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And they're going to come in and they're going to give me one quick prayer that, you know, everything is going to be all right. I'm going to say, everything ain't going to be. Not feeling all right right now. I'm way down yonder by yourself. But I got news for you. If you are in a cave down yonder by yourself, God will show up at your cave door. And God will ask you, "Greg, why are you hanging out at this cave? Don't you know that I've got you? Jackson, make your way out to Mount Olive and just hang out around the communion table. I died for you." They thought that they had my son Jesus boxed in, but Jesus broke out. And just because it looks bad for you doesn't mean that it's going to stay bad. I can adjust your attitude.
Sometimes before your situation will change, you've got to change your attitude. There's some people in church. They come, but they really don't believe that the situation can be changed. And too many of us have this misery index attitude. The unemployed. Look at somebody and say, "That's now." But God is able to change a situation.
I know there's somebody in here right now. There's some of you who've been unemployed for years and months, and your situation recently changed. Somebody will say, "He's in the business of changing things."
Don't let, and I recognize this is difficult. I recognize this is difficult, but don't let unemployment get into your spirit. Because when you go to a job interview, it comes across. You've got to somehow not let your situation define you. "I'm more than an unemployed person. That's why I go to church, because I feel like I'm getting in a funk. I feel like that my situation is beginning to define me. I got to hang around the communion table because I need an attitude adjustment, because I'm more than what I'm going through right now. I'm a child of God, and I believe it's more than a song. Jesus will fix it."
Life got you in a cave. You cannot afford to be defined by a cave mentality. You got to position yourself.
I was reading, and you know, sometimes you can be in a situation and your attitude can be so pessimistic that you don't understand that you're pessimistic. You've been hurting so long. You've been beat down so much. You stop hanging around people. Because you start, you know, I've heard people say this. I, I just don't know. I don't want to go to Mount Olive because, you know, they dress so well, and I don't have anything to wear, and I come in the parking lot and I look at all them cars. I don't even have bus fare. But you can't let somebody's dress define who you are. You are more than your suit. You are somebody. You press your way out anyhow, and you worship the Lord God Almighty until a change comes into your life. You claim your victory right here in the presence of God's people, because the Lord will make a way somehow. Hanging around in the cave long enough, break your way out. Reading the story about airplane pilot was teaching another person how to fly the plane. And I don't know much about airplanes, but I do know when you're flying, they tell me you got to keep your eyes on the instrument. You take your eyes off the instrument, that plane go anywhere. And there's one, the altimeter, I think it is. Something like that. That's the one that tells you the height and how far it is above the ground. You know, you got to keep your eye on that altimeter, because if you don't keep your eye on that, you'll run into a mountain. And I was thinking about, wouldn't it be nice if we had an attitude altimeter? When your attitude is messing up, and when your attitude is going negative on you, that an alarm will go off. Beep, beep, beep. Negative mindset creeping in right now. Lack of faith creeping in right now. Doubt's taking over right now. Beep, 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 beep. You think that you got to handle it all by yourself right now. Beep, 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 beep. It's your education that's going to get you through. Beep, 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 beep. It's your figure that's going to get... Beep, 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 beep. Somebody ought to say, I know the Lord will make a way somehow. That when my attitude gets out of whack, I come to worship. And I believe that the Lord can see me through. Oh, and the other thing too is when your attitude goes negative, and some church folk, some of us think that we don't need an attitude adjustment. Lord help me. Look at your neighbor and say, you need an attitude adjustment. Now turn and look at the other one and say, you need an attitude adjustment. Now, just in case you miss somebody miss you, look up to heaven and say, Lord, I need an attitude adjustment, because sometimes I think I'm more than I am, and I know that I need the Lord on my side. Lord, I'm not always in a cave, but I do have the stuff that I've been trying to hide. Every now and then when worship is really right, most of us, we really don't want, we want to be inspired in church, but we really don't want anybody to get in our face. We just want a little mercurochrome, but we don't want surgery. How many know that sometimes surgery is necessary? You can put all the mercurochrome, you can put all the alcohol, you can put all the heat liniment on. You got a bad back problem. Sooner or later, you got to go to surgery. And we got some stuff in us that we just want, rock me and sock me so I'll feel good. Come on, Terrence. Then we go out of here just as messed up as we came in here. But every now and then, we got to have an attitude adjustment. Go to chiropractor every week. Go twice a week when I'm feeling good, and since I had the automobile accident, I go three times a week. I'm not telling you to go. That's my story. But he puts me on a table, and he adjusts my spine, and worship is just
getting my mind back right. You can have your spine straight and your mind crooked. And that's why I need prayer. I need worship. I need daily meditation. I can't wait. And now that I go regularly and he goes on vacation, I get mad when he go on vacation. What you mean you going on vacation? Who going to adjust me?
He said, you'll be all right for a week or two.
But can you imagine those folk who don't come to church for months? Their minds have gone way out of line, and they're living according to their own mandates. They're doing what they want to do and whatever they think they're big enough and bad enough to do in their own eyes. And that's why they need to come in so they can be adjusted. Look at somebody and say, I need adjustment.
You don't need to be adjusted according to my thinking, but according to his thinking. God, in his infinite wisdom, wanted us to get the point. That's why he gave us communion, and that's why he went to the cross. Because sometimes situations look worse than they are. I have found out things are not as bad as they seem, and they're not as good as they seem. Usually, you know how your mind just makes you feel it's over. Increasingly, it bothers me. Too many of our young people are committing suicide. Too many people are committing suicide. Too many African Americans are committing suicide. I mean, we've always had it bad. One thing we had the Lord. He wouldn't like us to take our own life. We hung in there anyhow. Now that we've got a little prosperity in this prosperity ministry that promises you're going to have a Lexus and you're going to have money in the bank, you ain't always going to have all that you want, but you can have God on your side, and you can make it if you try. You can make it if you lean on him. Got to somehow come back. It bothers me when I hear young people just a few weeks ago, young person, young 28-year-old, 27-year-old, young woman, the age of my own kids, reportedly took her life. And it ought to bother us. It ought to bother the church. It ought to be more than just a concern for her parents. It ought to bother us because it could have been my daughter. It could have been your daughter. It could have been my son. It could have been any of our son. It ought to bother us. How did we fail that child? And if we could have just got her in the church and made her stay. Maybe something would have been said in the choir. Maybe something would have been said in the prayer. Maybe something would have been said in the sermon. Maybe someone would have hugged her. Maybe someone would have encouraged her. Maybe she would have had an attitude adjustment. Maybe we would have cried together. Maybe we would have affirmed her. Maybe somebody would have just held her. You know how you are, women. When you get ready to hug, you just hug. You just don't do a little dabber, do you? You just hold on forever. Maybe someone would have hugged her back to her right mind again and told her, baby, I've been where you are and you can make it. Don't you let no joker put you down that far.
I don't know about you, but I know I need my attitude adjusted every now and then. I know some of you sitting there saying, yeah, Barbara will adjust your attitude. I'm talking about more than that, because she needs hers adjusted too. I need mine adjusted. She knew, you know, every now and then it's her day to adjust me. And then if I get lucky, it's my day to adjust her. Something.
something about the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit blows on you, when the Holy Spirit transforms you, when the world says you can't make it, the Holy Spirit says, with God all things are possible. The Holy Spirit blows on you. It doesn't blow every day, but every now and then when the Spirit blows, I just want to be in the house when the wind blows. I don't want to be AWOL and the wind's blowing. I want to be in the house. You never know when the Spirit is going to show up in the preaching.
Might not show up every Sunday. I do the best I can. But I told you I need an attitude adjustment. Sometimes I know you're thinking, yeah, you need one today. Well, it might not be in the preaching. It might be in your hearing. Because you need one too. But when we get this thing together, oh, what a time. If the pulpit and the pew gets together, what a time. What a time.
He says, God asks, Elijah, what you doing here? I ask you today, what you doing? What you doing here? You look good until you got your hair done, your nails done. What you doing? Elijah thought he would mess up. He said, well, you know, Lord, I've been preaching and ain't nobody hearing me. I'm the last one. You know, nobody. Nobody wants to listen to me. And that witch of a woman named Jezebel, she's after me. And I've been doing good. I've been strong, Lord. I've been strong for the last 6 years. But I'm getting a little weak now. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You've been strong a long time, but you get a little weak every now and then. You feel like throwing in the towel every now and then. You got to stand. Look at somebody and say, stand firm. God's got your back. Don't you quit now. You come too far from where you started from to quit now. Hold on. God says, you are not by yourself. I got 7,000. That's ready to help you out. Before you get your pension, you go on and preach anyhow. So here we are today. Maybe you came in with a defeated attitude. You're lonely. Somebody, you were in a relationship with somebody. He or she treated you bad. Abuse you, and you get so lonely you're thinking about going back. Think again. You lost your job. And one of the things that bothers me so much about our young men, and I think it's got something to do with this economy, you know, you can't find a job. And I don't know what it is that black people think that they can't work in a fast food restaurant. They can't work at McDonald's. They can't work at Burger King. They'd rather go out and steal. There's something wrong with that mentality. I guess it's the economy. Some of our young men. Even in church, they come to church. Usually their mama make them come or their daddy makes them come. They don't come because I'm so good. But if you listen to me, I might hear something to say to you. If you got a teenager in here to sleep, wake them up right now. Wake them up. I dare you to be adult enough to wake them up. It's never right to do wrong. Oh, let me see. That's profound, Jackson. Oh, boy, you saying something, Jackson. Nobody else say amen? You go on and pat yourself on the back. It's never right to do wrong. I read this story about this young man who stole a car. He got away with it the first time. Didn't get caught. Got away scot. But the next time, he stole a car. He didn't get to the judge, Deacon Dow. He reached his hand and was going to steal the car of a judo expert. He got himself beat half to death by the judo instructor and the whole school. Sort of like my grandmother, you say, boy, I'll beat the black off you. Anybody else, your grandmother, y'all had? I mean, you know what? I thought she was serious. Don't fool yourself, young men. Don't fool yourself. There's a jail cell waiting for you. You might get away with it one time. There's a jail cell waiting for you. Forgive me. Forgive the church if we have failed you. But for God's sake, don't think you're going to get by just because you know somebody that's got a car with shiny rims on it. Don't be fooled. Work at McDonald's if that's all you can get. One day you might own it. And if you don't own McDonald's, one day you might own some other business. Nothing is easy. And if you're teeter-tottering on, I don't want to say violence on corruption and on thinking you can get by and get away. You need your attitude adjusted. Maybe you don't have a grandmama that's going to beat some sense in you. That's why I'm trying to beat you lightly this morning. Change your attitude. Get an education. Don't tell me how bad it is in Hackensack school. You can get an education. You can get an education in Hackensack. Don't tell me how bad Inglewood, how bad Teaneck is. You can get an education. I talked enough. Amen.